You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
For the first time in 728 days, we have an NCAA tournament bracket. And let me tell you, the Big Ten Conference is a huge portion of it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Ben Stevens. It is Monday, March 15th. And if it's a Monday, that means it is a Stevens and Stevens podcast, which also means it is brought to you by Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. As I mentioned, it is a Stevens and Stevens Monday episode with so much to get through, to dive through the bracket of the Big Dance, nine Big Ten teams inside the field of 68 for the NCAA tournament. So I'm very pleased to be joined by the other Stevens on this show for the Stevens and Stevens episode, Jay Stevens, the host of Locked On Buckeyes, my right-hand man for these Monday shows. Jay, we have made it. There is an NCAA tournament on the horizon after Selection Sunday. How are you feeling right now?
Big Ten bid. I'm feeling good. Very, very good. Very excited. I'm happy that the first four is on this coming Thursday. The tournament itself, first round, gets tipped off on Friday. I am excited. Yes, you hear Buckeyes. Ohio State did not win the Big Ten championship. There's a lot of positive coming out of just that sequence of games for Ohio State. But this is not an Ohio State-centered show. It's Big Ten show. 9 out of 14 teams been in the Big Dance. That's really, really good for one of the best conferences in the country.
The best conference in the country, in my opinion. 9 Big Ten bids for the NCAA tournament, the most of any league across the country in college basketball. It's so funny, Jay, to think about the Illinois-Ohio State Big Ten title game and how great this weekend was in the Big Ten tournament. And we're not even really going to react to that. We could spend an entire episode on that because, of course, yesterday, Sunday, March 14th, 2021, was Selection Sunday. The first Selection Sunday in over 2 years, 728 days, but we are here. We have made it. By the time we get to Thursday, in the first four games, it will be 708 days since the April 8th, 2019 national championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech since we have last seen a game in the Big Dance. We have made it. We have a couple hurdles to cross until we get to Thursday's first four, but let's start by diving through the nine teams in the Big Ten that made it to the NCAA tournament. We go through the seeding list now. Two number one seeds on that one line for the Big Ten Conference. Illinois and Michigan, number one seeds. Illinois in the Midwest, Michigan in the East. Number two seeds, Ohio State in the South, Iowa in the West. Number four, Purdue is on a four seed in the South region. Number nine seed in the South is Wisconsin. Two 10 seeds from the Big Ten, Maryland in the East, Rutgers in the Midwest, and a number 11 seed, Michigan State, in that East region, part of the first four play-in games. So a lot there, but nine Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament field. Jay Stevens, as you were seeing the bracket breakdown, what did you make of everything that was playing out on Selection Sunday?
I feel sorry for whoever plays a Big Ten team in this tournament. And I'm not just trying to be a homer. We've heard all season long, and I've said it numerous times, said it on Locked On Live, it's been a gauntlet. You think about a Rutgers team as a 10 seed. Started off hot, fizzled off a little bit in the middle, then it started to pick it up and show some signs of life towards the end. If I have to match up against Ron Harper Jr., if I'm a coach, I'm a little nervous. Think about it. Michigan State in the 11 seed, putting it in the play-in game. I don't want to play Aaron Henry the very first time, knowing he's in his home city. He is from Indianapolis, Indiana. So he may have to, his mom may give him a pep talk face-to-face, not over the phone. There are certain things that are going to happen if you're playing a Big Ten team. Yes, Illinois, Michigan, now as expected. Ohio State had a chance to be a number one seed. They coughed that up at the end of the regular season. Iowa, Luca Garza, Big Ten Player of the Year. Will he be the National Player of the Year? That's still to be determined. I don't want to play him either. Purdue, I told you this numerous times. I'll say it again. If I had to play those pesky Purdue Boilermakers or the Fighting Matt Painters during any time during this tournament, it's scary. It's tricky. I can't forget Wisconsin or Maryland either. So much good basketball that was played from these teams in the regular season, and I think we're going to see a lot more good basketball from these nine teams in the tournament as well.
Absolutely, Jay. Nine teams from the Big Ten Conference making the Big Dance and all battle-tested who have gone up against the best competition throughout this entire season of college basketball. You look at Michigan State, who is playing as a number 11 seed in that first four game this upcoming Thursday, either at Mackey Arena or at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, two Big Ten venues where Purdue plays their home games and Indiana plays their home games inside Assembly Hall. And Michigan State, as an 11 seed, is very, very scary and very surprising that they're playing in the play-in game. I know this was some of the fodder, some of the conversation around the social interwebs when the bracket was released, that Michigan State had to play in the play-in game, and other teams like Syracuse, which is my alma mater, but I can even say this, and Utah State got the final four byes into the NCAA tournament field. And Jay, that was one of my biggest overall takeaways as we dive into the bracket. The fact that Michigan State had to play in the first four. Let's compare the resumes here. Both Utah State and Syracuse have much better net rankings according to the net, which we know is a huge curriculum that the selection committee uses to determine the NCAA tournament field, and possibly more so than ever in this strange year, the selection committee relying on the net rankings. Utah State ranks 39th, Syracuse ranks 40th, Michigan State ranks 70th. However, when you dive even deeper into the metrics and you look at the quality of the teams that each of these three teams have beaten, Michigan State is by far up there. They have a 5-10 record against the quad one, 4-2 in quad two, and no bad losses, that being quad three or quad four losses. Five quad one wins for Tom Izzo and company, including three down the home stretch in the final 2 weeks of the Big Ten regular season over Ohio State, over Illinois, and over Michigan to cap off the regular season. You look at Syracuse and Utah State and their resumes that they have in terms of the quality of wins. Utah State, just 2-5 in quad one play. Syracuse, even worse than that, 1-7 in quad one plays. And Utah State has two quad three losses. Syracuse has one quad three loss. So I think that Michigan State fans have a reasonable gripe to make here about where they are in the NCAA tournament, having to play in that 11-11 playing game against UCLA this upcoming Thursday. It is a little bit confusing to me. And again, I'm a Syracuse alum and I can still question it.
It's confusing. I think it's something interesting when I think about how teams play in the beginning or middle of the season and then how they're viewed at the end of the season. Ohio State had a fall at the end, and they fell in the seeding because of it. Michigan State played better at the end, didn't get the same love. Very, very confusing to me. Michigan State early on, either maybe midway through the season, we were saying, will Tom Izzo, Michigan State's 22-year streak, whatever the streak number is, 20-plus straight years of into the tournament, will that streak be ended this year because they played so bad? Their basketball wasn't good. I remember the first time they played Ohio State, I'm like, this isn't offense. This offense isn't flowing. No. It's not moving. It's not consistent. It's nothing. And they found ways down the stretch. Joshua Langford played better. Rocket Watts played better. Aaron Henry played better. Everybody played better. And they find themselves playing Thursday, not Friday. I'm confused. You're confused. You would think late season success means you're going to get a lot more love. But that isn't the way things went for the Spartans this year.
And Syracuse played very well down the stretch. I know Utah State, having made the Mountain West Conference Tournament title game, also playing really good basketball at this time. But when you look at the metrics, when you look at the quality of quad one wins, Michigan State blows both of those teams out of the water. Everybody, a part of the NCAA tournament field of 68. However, one in Michigan State has a much harder path to make sure they can keep playing in the Big Dance. So, Jay, what was one of your biggest overall takeaways outside of the strength of the Big Ten Conference heading into the Big Dance?
Oh, well, let's see here. It's always Purdue. I'm a big Purdue guy. I live in Indiana. And I look at that bracket right now. It's the South bracket, top right. If you're looking at your bracket while listening to this podcast, one is Baylor, 16 is Hartford, North Carolina, Wisconsin under that, Villanova, Winthrop under that, then Purdue and North Texas. So I do expect Purdue, I don't know if we're going this route, Ben, but I'll go ahead and say it. I do expect Purdue to beat North Texas. And there's a good shot you can see Purdue in the Sweet 16. Villanova not playing the same. Winthrop, it's gonna be a decent matchup there. But you could find Purdue against Baylor in the Sweet 16 matchup there on the 27th or the 28th of March. That thing right there. And I think Baylor, the COVID pause 20-plus days, the ability, Jared Butler not playing the same after the COVID pause. I don't know if he had the COVID or not. I don't know. But if he was one player, that could be why. Maybe his lungs aren't the same. I don't know exactly who tested positive, who did not. But I do know their COVID pause was different than the Wolverines' COVID pause around the same time. You could find that Purdue team, Sweet 16, and I don't know if they have an answer for Travion Williams. Dayton Ivey, good. But Travion Williams, Ben, we saw him that Friday against Ohio State. His footwork, next level, man. next level. You give me a Purdue versus Baylor, Sweet 16, all the eyeballs. I suggest everyone listening should be watching that matchup, because I think that matchup will be a surprise. I don't know if Baylor is respecting or will respect Purdue in the way that they should.
The Big Dance Bracket for the year 2021 is here. We continue on with our reactions on the Stevens and Stevens Monday episode, but this time of year in March, it's all about confidence. And Blue Chew feels the same way. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform, especially in the month that we know and love as March. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office necessary, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in discreet packaging. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're improved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners in this month of March. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKED On. That's LOCKEDON at checkout, and all you pay is the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the Locked On Big Ten podcast in this month of March. And in this month of March, the focus is the Big Dance, the March Madness, everything we need in the NCAA tournament. If you want to win some money, you want to lay some wagers down, there's only one place that we trust and one place to go here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and that place is betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College basketball is at the forefront. The Big Dance, March Madness, all of it, and BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Let's check in with betonline.ag and their future odds for winning the 2021 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Gonzaga still at the top at 2-1. Baylor 11-2. Michigan and Illinois. Michigan is 6-1. Illinois is 13-2. Let me tell you something. About 2.5 weeks ago, before Illinois really started to hit their stride and when there were some questions around the health of Ayo Dosunmu, the Fighting Illini were 15-1 at a lot of places. That is great value. I hope you got Illinois back then. I still think you could get them with pretty good value right now at plus 650. Iowa is 18-1. The flyer in the Big Ten Conference that I think you should put a couple bones on and maybe start to accrue some value as we get later into the tournament, as we will discuss with Jay Stevens here. Purdue, 50-1, the 4 seed in the South region. The Purdue Boilermakers could easily make a Sweet 16, and then you get some great value on those future odds, 15-1. Whatever you want to play, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you put in the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. From here on out, throughout the entire rest of this month of March, everybody will ask you probably one question and one question above all. How's your bracket doing? March Madness is here, and that means bracket challenges. And here at the Locked On Podcast Network, you can join our Locked On Listener Bracket Challenge group on ESPN. Submit your March Madness picks, bet your favorite hosts, and if you win, you will get a guest appearance on Locked On Today, our daily news podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski. The link to join is in the show notes of this episode. We'll put the link in there. Join, make your picks, win, and come on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're a guy that likes the Big Ten, or if you're a girl that likes the Big Ten, and you win our bracket challenge, you can come on Locked On Big Ten as well. I just added that. Get your picks in today and join our Locked On Listener Bracket Challenge on ESPN. We continue on giving you some advice for how to approach March Madness for the teams in the Big Ten Conference on the Stevens and Stevens Monday episode. And we'll dive into some of the best opening round matchups for your Friday and Saturday in that round of 64 and take a peek ahead to what the paths might be for the Big Ten Conference. But I have said for a couple weeks now, Jay, Purdue seemed pretty evenly slotted on that number 4 seed line. I thought they could be a very dangerous number 4 seed, and whatever number 1 seed got them, because they could have played against a Big Ten number 1 seed, would be a very, very scary game for that team on the one line. It is now the Baylor Bears, who are, you're right, are not playing the same brand of basketball when they were as dominant as they were early on in the college basketball and Big 12 slate. That being said, Purdue has a chance. And you mentioned Trevion Williams and the damage that he did against Ohio State in that quarterfinal on Friday. Purdue was down 18 at the half, and Ohio State seemed like they had that game in control. Then the Boilermakers started giving the ball to Trevion down in the post, and he took over that game. He was absolutely outstanding. And the thing about Trevion Williams is he is one of the best passing big men in the country, in my opinion. So if you do go double him you start to scheme your defense around him, he is going to kick it out very quickly to Jaden Ivey, Sasha Stefanovic. And oh, by the way, let's bring in the 7'4 mammoth of a man, Zach Edey, off the bench to spell Trevion Williams. So Purdue is a very dangerous team on that four line. I love what I think will also be a potential Sweet 16 matchup in the South region against the number one seed in that part of the bracket, the Baylor Bears. One of my overall biggest takeaways outside of the seeding snub to Michigan State, if you will, is the realistic path. And follow me here, Jay. The realistic path that we could have in all Big Ten Final Four. Four of 8 seeds in the NCAA tournament hail from the glorious Big Ten Conference. Of course, we have the number 3 overall seed on that one line, Illinois, in the Midwest portion of the bracket. We have Michigan on that one line as well in the East region. We have Iowa, a number 2 seed in the West region, and Ohio State, also a number 2 seed in the South region. So if you're following me there, that's 4 different regions, the 4 regions that make up the bracket, and everybody could win their regional final and advance to play in the Final Four inside Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. There is a chance, as it says from Dumb and Dumber, so you're telling me there's a chance. There is a chance we would have an all Big Ten Final Four, and I think the path is pretty capable. I actually think out of all of those seeds I laid out, including the teams on the two line in Ohio State and Iowa, that Michigan has the hardest path as it stands right now in the East region, because the 2 seed in the East is Alabama, the SEC champs. The 3 seed in the East is Texas, the Big 12 champs, both playing incredibly good basketball. And as we saw with Michigan this weekend, the devastating news that Isaiah Livers is out indefinitely with a right foot stress injury that he is hoping and working to get back from, possibly second weekend of the NCAA tournament, but his status very much uncertain, and that will obviously be a huge component for Michigan. But there is a chance that we could have an all Big Ten Final Four in downtown Indianapolis, run it back like what we saw in the semifinals of the Big Ten Conference Tournament. It could happen, Jay Stevens. It very well could happen.
Ben, let's pay a little hypothetical. Please. I like where you're going with this now. So that would mean you would have Iowa versus Michigan. You would have Ohio State versus Illinois. You mean to tell me there's a possibility, Ben, in the Final Four, you could get Luka Garza versus Hunter Dickinson? You can get a rematch of the Big Ten Championship game, Ohio State versus Illinois in downtown Indianapolis, in the same very venue that those teams played in the Big Ten tournament as well. That would be amazing. That would be huge. And for CBS, they love ratings, America's most watched network. I think they would complain with that either. Because let's just say another hypothetical. I'm wearing the Buckeye hat right now. I wear it every show that I do. Let's just say, Ben, you mentioned Isaiah Livers, but let's just say you do get the Iowa Michigan and Michigan wins that. Let's just say we get Ohio State Illinois. Ohio State wins that. A rematch of the game. We did get it in the football season. Got a rematch in the Big Ten Conference tournament. Hey, I will gladly watch that game be played once again. Two of the best teams in the country. And that would be one of the best matchups we could see this year as well.
There's also a potential, Jay Stevens, that I believe we could see a Final Four rematch of the College Football Playoff National Championship game between Ohio State and Alabama. Alabama being the 2 seed in the East, Ohio State being the 2 seed in the South region. I believe that would match up for them to play on Final Four weekend inside Lucas Oil Stadium. So many storylines to monitor. Of course, you are hearing me say this. My name is Big Ten Ben. That is what they call me. Yes, it is highly unlikely we have an all Big Ten Final Four, but there is a path. I know Iowa would have to knock off Kansas and Gonzaga on the way of doing so and get past Oregon, who I also think is streaking at this time as well. Ohio State would have to knock off Arkansas and Baylor. Arkansas, a very good team out of the SEC. Baylor, of course, one of the best teams all of this college basketball season. Illinois would have to get past Houston and or West Virginia and Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16. That is a very difficult path as well. And then, as I mentioned, Michigan with probably the hardest potential path to the Final Four and having to beat Alabama and or Texas and Florida State, most likely, who's the 4 seed in the East in that Sweet 16 matchup. Although Florida State on upset alert, look out for that. Look out for the Seminoles. I think they take on a very spicy 13 seed in that opening round. I'll dive in a little bit more to the bracket as we're absorbing everything here on the Stevens and Stevens Monday show of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. So, Jay, with the final couple of minutes we have on this Monday show, I think we look ahead to not only Thursday, and we can discuss Michigan State and UCLA in that first four play-in game, but also Friday and Saturday in the opening round of 64 matchups for some of these teams in the Big Ten Conference. Are there a couple games you're looking at on opening weekend that feature a Big Ten team that entice you and you have your eye on?
Give me a second, Bill. Let me look over this really quickly. Ooh, it didn't take long. I want to write back.
Reaction.
My eyes went right back to the right side of the bracket. You mean to tell me week one, game one, you're going to give me North Carolina and Wisconsin?
Smart man. What about I won as well?
I know for a fact, Asher Lowe, I saw some of his tweets. If you guys do not follow Asher on Twitter, I don't have his Twitter handle right in front of me, but I would thoroughly suggest it. He is a college basketball junkie, and he had some tweets that kind of showed how his thoughts were about playing North Carolina the very first game. I don't want anything to do with Garrison Brooks or Armando Bacot. I do not. And their team – with North Carolina's big man, Roy Williams always has big men, very similar to Purdue and Matt Painter, but I think Roy Williams' big men were always a tad better than those that Matt Painter does recruit. If you mean to tell me you get that team, that North Carolina team, that's played a whole lot better down the stretch, hey, Wisconsin Badger fans, I wouldn't talk too much trash about this matchup. I will go there. If you got to take off work, if you have not already taken off work for that game, please go ahead and do so. Say Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes and Locked On Big Ten said so, because you want to watch that from start to finish.
This is March. We sleep in May. So how do we keep the energy going throughout the entire month of March into the big dance, into the Final Four, all of it? We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is what we turn to for energy, and we turn to it because Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on each and every one of their flavors. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness, the Built Bar Bracket, as we go into today. Today's matchup in the round of 32 or the Sweet 16, whatever it falls into, based on the numbers, I believe it's the Sweet 16 as I'm looking right now, is Toffee Almond versus Mint Brownie. Let me tell you something. I like Toffee Almond. They have actual nuts in the bar. It tastes incredible. But Mint Brownie is one of my favorite flavors on the board. And I feel like I say that a lot because I like all the flavors of Built Bar a ton. But Mint Brownie is up there in my Final Four, possibly Elite Eight metrics. So I put them on to the Final Four. In my mind, Mint Brownie moves on. But you can give your thoughts on the matchup and you can vote at BuiltBar.com and at Bar_Built on Twitter. Remember, when you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. To get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. It may seem crazy to you. Yes, March Madness is at the focal point of what we will cover here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast, but next month is the NFL Draft. So NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective from all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, move in this offseason around the National Football League. Get your picks, previews, everything you need each and every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to also subscribe and follow here for the Locked On Big Ten podcast so we can keep you updated throughout this stretch run in the NCAA tournament. One of those first updates, reacting to the bracket with my guy Jay Stevens on the Stevens and Stevens Monday episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast. That is the 8-9 matchup in the South region. It will take place on Friday, and that was the game I was highlighting as well. Asher Lowe has been on this very Locked On Big Ten podcast numerous times, and as we have talked about Wisconsin bigger picture and some of the struggles they had down the stretch, I asked him, do you think this is a team that can win a game or even two games in the NCAA tournament? And he said, it is possibly so matchup dependent for Wisconsin if they have any shot of getting out of the first round. This is the worst possible matchup for Wisconsin in the 8-9 game that anybody in Madison could hope of having, because North Carolina is starting to play so much better down the stretch. Their guard play has improved. Walker Kessler down low. They have started to play at an elite level as well. This is a North Carolina team that made it to the ACC tournament semifinals. They are playing a lot better. They are long. They are athletic. They play at a very fast pace. This is a matchup nightmare for Greg Gard and the Badgers. And I think Asher Lowe of Locked On Badgers will express that in his shows this week, as will Candace Cooper, the host of Locked On Tar Heels. Wherever you are getting your information around the Locked On Podcast Network's college channel, we have you locked and loaded for this week leading up to the big dance. Locked On Spartans, I know, is going to be a hoot on this Monday as they react to Michigan State getting back to the big dance for the 23rd straight year. Andrew Wade of Locked On Hawkeyes will be killing it. Isaiah Hall of Locked On Wolverines giving you the latest on Isaiah Livers' strategy and how he is feeling heading into this NCAA tournament, what his status might be. So it is going to be incredible theater. But that North Carolina-Wisconsin game, a classic 8-9 matchup in the South region. Oof, Badger fans, I'm sorry. Not what you wanted in that first round draw. Another area I'm looking at, another game on Friday, is an ACC Big Ten matchup. Number 7, the Clemson Tigers, a 7 seed, taking on Rutgers, a 10 seed in the Midwest region. Clemson, the 7 seed in the Midwest, Rutgers, the 10 seed in the Midwest. Jay Stevens, according to our good friends at betonline.ag, that is the only opening round matchup at this point that has a lower seeded team as the favorite. The Scarlet Knights opened up as a 1-point favorite against the Clemson Tigers. On the other hand, of Wisconsin fans not loving their first-round matchup, I love this matchup for Rutgers and Steve Peichel to possibly advance the round of 32. Rutgers officially back in the big dance for the first time in 3 decades. Your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball back dancing one more time.
There's a reason why I mentioned Ron Harper Jr. at the beginning of the show, Ben. He is one of those guys. He can score. He can light it up from anywhere on the court. Clemson had some lulls during the season, had some good moments, had some not so good moments. Rutgers kind of turning it around at the right time. Now, they didn't make a deep Big Ten tournament run, but that was not expected. That was not expected from them at all. But you give me Rutgers week number one, game one. I don't know how. And I keep saying Ron Harper Jr. on purpose. I know they have other people. One, I don't want to face Miles Johnson. Big mammoth down low. I may have said his name incorrectly. Excuse me if I did. I don't want to face him. Jacob Young. I don't want to face him. Geo Baker. I don't want to face him. So many weapons in this turnaround, as I see numerous times. Big Ten Ben always tweets out that Jim Valvano video. I expect it to possibly come out after this matchup. I haven't filled out my bracket yet, but if I'm just giving you a little tidbit or thought about things to come, I might have Rutgers over Clemson game one. Game two, that's a different story. Those Cougars are good.
I slightly disagree about Houston. I've watched a decent amount of Houston play in the American, and there's times where I think if a team brings defensive energy, Houston's offense struggles, and the metrics in the favor of the Cougars don't match up with what you see with your eyes. That might be a very trendy upset pick for me as I fill out my brackets to have Rutgers move on to the Sweet 16. I will wait and see. We have a bracket challenge as a part of the Locked On Podcast Network's college channel. As you heard earlier on in the show, we hope you all can join and be a part of this fun and the madness for it. But I love that matchup for Rutgers as the 10 seed in the Midwest taking on the 7 seed Clemson in that Midwest region. Another game I do quickly want to touch on, and we will obviously break down a lot of these opening round of 64, round of 32 matchups that we will possibly see this weekend in the next coming days on this show, is that opening game, the first four play-in game on Thursday night, Michigan State and UCLA, the battle of the 11 seeds in the East region. By the way, the East region, 3 Big Ten teams as it stands at the moment. Michigan, the 1 seed, Maryland, the 10 seed, Michigan State playing in that play-in game for the 11 seed. UCLA sucks, Jay. They suck. I cannot believe they made the NCAA tournament. It was a gift that they were included. They lost 3 straight to end out the regular season, and then they lost to Oregon State, who ended up being the Pac-12 tournament champions. Yes, I will give them that. But they lost to Oregon State in overtime, getting bumped in their first game of the Pac-12 tournament. This, I think, for Michigan State comes at a very beneficial time. I think they win that play-in game. If they were going to play in against Wichita State or Drake, that would have worked against them. I think having UCLA in this spot is a benefit for Tom Izzo and company.
Absolutely. I remember early in the season, Ben, Ohio State had a game against UCLA, originally scheduled against North Carolina, but due to COVID situations, they had to rearrange and change the matchups for that weekend. UCLA wasn't a good basketball. This is early in the season when Ohio State hadn't figured out who the leader was, what the rotations were going to be, how they're going to fill the holes from last season. And UCLA didn't impress me at all. They weren't really good at all. And I like basketball. Mm-hmm. We both like basketball. And I was like, this is a game that if I wasn't hosting a podcast for Ohio State, just being honest, transparent, your boy would have turned it off. I didn't. It was not that kind of game. Aaron Henry, I want to ride with a local guy. I saw him play here locally in high school, Florida State Championship. I know he knows what it means to turn it on, have a turnaround, documented this on Locked On Buckeyes on purpose the first time Ohio State played Michigan State. Aaron Henry, his senior year, his team, first part of the season, you said UCLA sucks. His high school basketball team sucked that year. They won the first part of the year, the time that they won the state championship. They turned it around, got a little, they started moving the ball around, and that team was really good at shooting three-point shots. Aaron Henry could slash, could cut, could get wherever he wanted to on the court, beat Jack Nungy in the state tournament that year as well from Iowa. Unfortunately, he's hurt. I think Aaron Henry may go back to that time in his head and say, look, my team wasn't playing well, turned it around, won the state championship. I'm not saying they're going to win the national championship this year, but they could turn it around, go back to a few years ago and say, look, ride me, guys, ride me. We can beat UCLA. We might beat them pretty good.
Aaron Henry has been that guy for the Michigan State Spartans that got them to this place in the first place. So Aaron Henry, a huge factor of why Michigan State ended off the regular season 5-2 in games after February 20th. Michigan State still playing some good basketball despite losing to Maryland in the first round or their opening game of the Big Ten tournament. And Jay, you bring up one point there about Aaron Henry being familiar with downtown Indianapolis and the state of Indiana as well. As we know by now, the NCAA tournament is all taking place in the great state of Indiana. The first four playing games at Mackey Arena and at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Some of the opening round matchup at Assembly Hall, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, the Indiana Farm Bureau Coliseum. All of that great stuff that we will see in the state of Indiana. It is a benefit, and I've said this before, it is a benefit for Big Ten teams having played the Big Ten tournament in downtown Indianapolis to just stay here and to be here with all that we know at a certain times, a dicey situation for other teams to get into the bubble-like environment in Indy. It is a benefit for Big Ten teams to be familiar and to be understanding of that, especially if we have some of those Big Ten teams make it to the Elite Eight and Lucas Oil Stadium, and they already know their shooting depth perception having played there in the Big Ten tournament as well. So much to get to, so much to continue to preview for you on this Locked On Big Ten show in the days leading up to the NCAA tournament and all throughout. I, Jay Stevens, am just very happy we have got here. This is my first time hosting Locked On Big Ten where there has been an NCAA tournament bracket, taking this over in early March of last year and having the season cut short. It is a blessing and a benefit to be here at this time. I'm incredibly appreciative of it. I'm incredibly appreciative of you to come on this show to react to the bracket, the nine Big Ten teams into the NCAA tournament. Jay Stevens, my right-hand man on the Stevens and Stevens podcast on this Monday show of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, the host of Locked On Buckeyes. Great information. I can't wait for the madness to fully begin. So many thanks again to Jay Stevens, the host of Locked On Buckeyes, my right-hand man for this Monday Stevens and Stevens episode of the Locked On Big Ten podcast, our initial reactions and everything to the bracket, but it doesn't stop there. We will keep you updated on everything you need to know heading into this opening weekend, the first four play-in game for Michigan State, the round of 64, the round of 32, everything throughout this entire stretch here in the madness, in the big dance. We will do that each and every day here on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. That includes tomorrow, our State of the Program episode with two of the nine teams that have made the big dance from the Big Ten Conference. We will check in with a couple of great members around this Locked On Podcast Network to get their takes on where their Big Ten teams stand heading in to the NCAA tournament. So until we get to the tomorrow State of the Program episode where we will have two States of the Program, have a splendid Monday.